Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw, episode 126. And it's been a bad weekend for the man on my left. Arsenal effectively throwing away whatever chance they had at catching Liverpool with the terrible 1-0 loss at home to West Ham. The Liverpool capitalised on that with a convincing 2-0 win over Manchester City. It was 2-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just imagining there was a goal disallowed, right?
Yeah.
And then, it was an interesting... The Premier League's in an interesting state right now.
Mm.
Not the bottom three. I mean...
Washed.
How fucking boring is it every season? This would be the second season in a row that the three promoted teams have gone down.
Mm. I was going to ask this question at the end of the episode, but fuck it, I'll ask it now. Bottom three teams already decided.
Title wrapped up in February.
Is this season a stinker?
No.
Because it's a new title winner.
Not, well, it's different to Man City winning it, which is fun. But I think the storylines have been good. Ten Hag went, bye-bye. Amorim's come in. It's been even worse.
Made that lucky that those three teams that we mentioned, the newly promoted slash soon-to-be relegated teams, are as bad as they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Man United are in the mud.
We've had... interesting storylines at the top of the table where you had Chelsea going on an interesting run, outsiders for title contention, fell off a cliff, having a stinky time now. Nottingham Forest, where are they? Sat third?
Third on 47 points.
Mental.
Mm.
Mental. So yeah, it's an interesting one. And I don't think it's been boring. I mean, the bottom half has been pretty boring, apart from there was a little bit of time where Wolves and Everton were flirting with relegation. Mm. If the promoted teams were up around sort of like the 22 points mark, it'd be a bit more interesting. But they're about 7 points adrift of Wolves.
Mm. Yeah.
Southampton haven't even turned up for half the matches. I mean, they're on 9 points, 26 games into the season, 25 games.
Yeah, I think they might break Derby's record, you know.
It's mental. Mm. So, not boring.
And let us know in the comments down below, though. What do you think? Has it been a bit of a stinker?
Yeah, maybe. Do we need to look at changing something?
I don't know.
I mean, how many teams? I mean, Leicester were Premier League winners, Champions League, like knockout round attenders. Southampton were established Premier League team for like nine seasons. Both teams have gone down, come back the following season, and compete at all.
Mm.
I think all three promoted teams this weekend conceded 4 goals.
Yeesh.
It's mental.
Yeah, that is grim. We'll quickly touch on the Man City-Liverpool game, a fixture that I'd say over the last 5 years has been leagues above the rest of the fixtures in the league. League above the league.
It was like watching two different like planets play, like two teams on different planets. Like,
not the case now. Like, Liverpool were good. We'll talk about that. But first of all, talk about just Man City.
Yeah, I mean...
they are... like, the decline... it's got to be the biggest decline in terms of last season to this season for any team in the league.
Any team in the league this season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of anyone that's had a bigger decline.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's... I don't know, it's just weird, isn't it? I mean, we were at the pub for this. We looked at the team sheet when it came out and we thought... they're going to get cooked.
Cooked everywhere.
No, like... Haaland, which is, you know, it's a strange one because there are points in the season where we're like, oh, they're better without Haaland. Does Haaland stink up the gaff? But you made a good point yesterday. You said he brings that fear factor.
Mm.
And he brings a physical presence. Like he'll always be in the back of the defender's mind. And all it takes is for him to have a one sniff of goal and he'll convert it. Marmoush started.
I like
but
him.
He was behind Foden. Mm. Foden was like their most... their
don't
focal
like him.
Point.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Marmoush and Doku were the only ones who really looked like creating anything. Marmoush obviously had that goal that's allowed offside. It was fairly tight, but after the lines came out, it was pretty obvious. And Doku, he had Trent on toes, but it's the same old story.
Beat Trent 12 times, dribbled past him 12 times that game.
Meaningless stat, though, when no one's getting on the end of your ball.
Factamondo, mate. It's one of those, like, it'll look good on a Twitter comp.
Yeah.
But, mate...
the end product.
What have you done?
Matters,
yeah, what have you done with that?
It would
have
been better if you beat him only once that game, but it ended up, you know, in the back.
Exactly
of the
that. Yeah, Man City were weird because they are bad. Like, I was watching them and I was like, there's no kind of... any attack they had, I was like, like not going to create anything meaningful from this. Whereas like old Man City, it feels like every time they attack you, they'd get a shot away or score. Whereas this Man City, I don't know, they're just missing like killers in that final third, apart from Haaland.
Yeah.
You had Kev, you had Foden, you had prime Bernardo Silva, you had Gundogan.
Even Julian Alvarez.
These guys, if you get the ball in the final third, they're banging. Now, Gundo and Bernardo Silva, send them to Saudi. Kev, send him to Saudi. Foden, send him to bloody, I don't know, Salford United or whatever. Because he's washed.
I was thinking about this on the way. I was like, is it time for Phil to just be like, just go to Atleti or Bayern Munich or something?
He's got to go somewhere because he's got to be looking at his boys, Morgan Rogers and Cole Palmer and Jude.
Yeah.
And be like, mate, I won Prem Player of the Season last year, but
I'm stuck in this, like,
mate. I think he's looked bang average all season,
and we looked
and then stat pads against like fucking Ipswich or whatever.
We looked at that the lineup and we were thinking, like, Rico Lewis, said it multiple times,
lightweight
experiment gone wrong.
Yeah, come on.
And that midfield with Rico Lewis and Kev, just it's poor. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne, it's like watching an old man.
It's sad because he is, like, argument best midfielder that's ever graced the Premier League.
Yeah.
And he is going out sad.
Yeah, I think apparently his contract lined up with San Diego.
Oh, he's got to go somewhere because he can't do another season at the Prem.
No, and even he's to be in this Man City team as well, he would be the man you looked to like drag them out and get some results. But they went from smashing Newcastle 4-0 previous week to this.
And I'll talk about that fixture
and
after as well.
Even in this game, they had spells where they were
like dominating.
They were dominant on the ball for the most part of the game, to be honest. But it's the same old story. Like, Doku would cook Trent, final ball would be absolutely nowhere. Or Doku or Savinho would get up, get wide, maybe a fullback would overlap, and it would just get recycled over and over again. And then all it takes is one bad touch or one short pass, and then Liverpool would hit you on the counter.
Yeah, no one wants to play an incisive pass in that team. And the people that could haven't got it in them anymore. So, I don't know, it's a sad state of affairs for Man City. Liverpool, on the other hand, that's another 3 points that moves them 11 points clear in the title race. Like we said earlier, that's pretty much title race done, in my opinion, anyway.
I mean, they've got Newcastle, I think.
They've got a couple of tricky fixtures still. Obviously, they've got Arsenal to go to Anfield. They've got Newcastle coming up, and then a couple of easies in Southampton in a blank game week. The only other hard fixtures they got the Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton kind of three in a row.
Yeah.
But I think
they
could lose all three of those and they're still 11 points clear, so that'd be 2 points clear. So
yeah, looking at the bigger picture now, I mean, Arsenal were banking on Man City doing something this weekend, maybe capitalising and doubling up on their result against Newcastle and against Liverpool. Liverpool could have ended up with three draws in a row or, you know, a loss.
Oh yeah, well, after those two draws, and if we'd beaten West Ham, pressure is on Liverpool.
Because then at that point, you know, Arsenal would be 5 points behind with a game in hand and to play Liverpool. So they could, it was in their hands at that point. But now it's like, it's completely swung.
Yeah, 100%.
Arsenal now need to be perfect until the end of the season.
Yeah, I think.
Win every game.
Oh, yeah.
And Liverpool would have to, you know, lose like four out of the last 11 games or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. And I saw, we mentioned Opta like at various points of the season. I think Opta for Liverpool to win now is like 96%.
Yeah, it would take
which
the
is
biggest
pretty
crumble of all time.
Oh, yeah, it'd be the worst crumble the Prem has ever seen, I think.
And Arsenal to go on to do something spectacular. But I mean,
think just Arsenal teased us a little bit though, because there was no way. The moment Saka got injured, I kind of, in my mind, was like, this title race is going to be long. And there was like a little period where we were like, oh, maybe we can get in there. Liverpool dropping a few points, us getting some decent wins. And I was like, oh, maybe. But then the moment you lose Havertz as well, you lose Martinelli. Mate, when we're playing a front line of Sterling, Marino and Wanyeri, who's like the only one that's competent, mate, there's no way you're catching Salah, who's dropping Ballon d'Or numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, just, Arsenal were toothless, weren't they, against West Ham? 20 Sunday shots, 2 on target, says it all. And you're looking for people to step up and really take, and you know, the team's at they're riding a high on, in terms of, they're on a really good run of form. They picked some good results. They're, against all the adversity, they're still charging forward. They're still putting the pressure on Liverpool. But then it's like losing all their individual battles. Aaron Wan-Bissaka made Calafiori look like the worst signing.
Cooked him.
Ever. Mm. You know, and there are question marks like Miles Lewis-Skelly, is it a bit too much too soon? He's been asked too many questions. I think he's clearly good enough.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think it's just one of those things.
In a couple of things. If Raya was in net, that's not a red card.
Yeah, it's a techie one. Odegaard, I've seen a lot of people come from him on the timeline, and I do think there is some credit to that. I think it's coming a little bit harsh, because I think he has been very decent for a long time, but I'd say the last couple of months or so since his injury hasn't really been at the level. And I think that season where he hit like double-digit goals and assists kind of got Arsenal fans' expectations of him like very high. And fair dudes, he is a cracking player. And this decline isn't like he's not putting up goals or assists now. And it's kind of, he looks like he's not contributing. When you got, I've cooked Bruno Fernandes.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
On this podcast a million times.
But he's still popping up with goals and assists.
2-0 down against Everton. This Don lines up a free kick, bangs it in, changes the vibe of the game. Does Odegaard have that kind of clutchness in him?
I just think he needs to be braver and be a bit more selfish. Like, I don't know what it is about teams now, but they just, no one wants to fucking shoot from outside the box.
Yeah, mate, Arsenal have that problem so bad.
Reverted back to this, like, walk it in the net. You know?
And which is why, like, Wanyeri, he loves a cheeky bang from outside the
box. But I mean, like, how many goals has Salah scored this season where he's just cut inside and smashed it in? Or, you know, like, and I think a lot of Liverpool's goals are coming from sort of, they're not tappings, but they're, like, outside the box, you know? Man City have one of the most dominant strikers in the air on their team.
Don't cross the ball.
Don't cross the fucking ball. Like, just fucking put a ball in from deep.
Yeah.
Ask some questions.
It's all about just keeping possession, even if it's shit possession.
You can't concede if you've got the ball.
Yeah, it's
shit
possession.
But, like, you conceded anyway,
son. Yeah.
You know, you can't keep the ball. You can't generate chances. You're not going to win a game you can't score.
So, yeah, Liverpool won the Prem. Arsenal, dead. Let's talk about the race for Champions League spots, because, as you know, that's where the money is. And we'll talk about the money men first. So there's Manchester City, Newcastle and Chelsea. And Aston Villa, in essence, actually. They've all spent big money. And then you've got...
little old Bournemouth.
Little old Forest and Bournemouth. Love to see it. So these big dons... So 47 points for Nottingham Forest, and it's 44-44 for Man City and Newcastle. 43-43 for Bournemouth-Chelsea, and then 42 for Villa. So very tight. 4 points separates the top of those five positions.
The interesting part here as well is that three of those six teams will probably get Champions League, because England are top of that table for the fifth spot. So I think it's like a 92% chance that England get that extra Champions League spot.
Fifth place
could be enough.
It's interesting. And I was going to mention when you brought up the Man City-Newcastle game earlier, if Man City didn't win that and Newcastle did, Newcastle would be fourth. Man City would be eighth.
Newcastle would be third on goal difference.
Oh, third on goal difference, yeah. So, yeah, it's mental that Man City got that win against Newcastle. Kind of kept them in the conversation.
Yeah, 100%. And I expect them to, you know, pick up points just because they are Man City. They've got such more quality in their team than a lot of the teams they'll come up against running.
So, out of Man City, Newcastle, Chelsea and Aston Villa, who needs Champions League the most? Because Forest and Bournemouth don't need it.
No, Forest...
And we'll talk about them after and how
Forest
they're
averaging. Forest and Bournemouth, I don't think need it. I think any European competition is good.
It's cushy, yeah.
We've seen what it's sort of done to Villa this season, although they performed well in the Champions League. I think Newcastle are the ones who need it the most.
Let's talk about Newcastle first then. So, it's been well established in the media that if they don't get Champions League, Isak is pretty much gone.
Which I think is fair enough. He's clearly one of the top number nines in the world.
100%.
Was he wearing like a number 17 or something like that?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's one of the best strikers in the world, with the ball at his feet, his runs, physically, in front of goal. He's so well-rounded.
Oh yeah, he's my favourite striker in the world at the moment.
He's so well-rounded, and he deserves Champions League football, whether that's with Newcastle or not. And I think it's almost like, don't even worry about the Champions League football so much. You just worry about keeping Isak. Because if they lose Isak...
Oh, mate, it's cooked. Another player, Bruno G. I've seen rumours that Man City are looking at him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more replaceable than Isak.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But still, He's captain of the club. He's a big player for them. Mm. So yeah, Newcastle is pretty important, I think, for them to get Champions League.
I don't think it matters for like Man City.
Do you not? I think it does.
I mean, what happens? Because they've got like
I don't know what their wage bill is like, but surely if they don't get Champions League, they get fucked in the arse by FFP.
I don't know how it works, but because they'll have like a grace period, because you can't just bank on having Champions League every season.
That's what they probably do, though.
Yeah, but we saw the same thing happen with like United, like Liverpool as well. I know they probably haven't got a wage bill
like Man City,
comparable to Man City, but
Chelsea. Yeah.
I mean, talks of Maresca. We're coming on for a secret title charge. Keep that hush hush. He fucking knew, because these men stink.
They stink.
Cole Palmer has generated something like 30. Chances that haven't ended in a goal or an assist.
They've just got so many bang average players, in my opinion.
But how have you spent £1 billion and you don't have a solid centre back? You don't have a solid goalkeeper.
That's bad.
And you don't have a fucking striker. So what's going on? Like, I'm lost. I'm completely lost. The club needs to be eradicated. It is an absolute toxic stain on English football.
Toxic establishment. And then Aston Villa got a decent result against Chelsea on the weekend from 1-0 down. Two good...
Double from Eminem.
Yeah, I was going to say, two good January moves. I actually tweeted, Arsenal, take note, you can make decent signings in January, because Rashford looks good.
When we did our transfer window ranking, we didn't have anyone to go in top tier.
We
said, if anyone's going to have a top tier, it's Aston Villa, because this could either go very well or very poorly.
and it looks like it's going well.
Yeah. And I'm happy for it. I'm happy to see Marcus Rashford look like a footballer again.
Balling out, two assists. Yeah.
Marcus Asensio, reviving his
career.
Come
on, yeah.
It's good to see, though. Like, they're taking punts and it's working. They're being brave. They're not just going boring. And so, yeah, I would like to see Villa get Champions League again. I think they've put a good show this year.
And
who
then
is going to get Champions League?
Oh, yeah, fair enough. I think Forest will.
Yeah.
But maybe not in third. I think it's going to go third or B, Newcastle, which is annoying because that might mean Isak stays. Third, Newcastle. Fourth, Forest.
Agreed.
Fifth, Man City.
Agreed.
Sixth, Villa. Seventh, Chelsea. Eighth, Bournemouth.
Something like that, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, six, seven, eight doesn't really matter. But yeah, I agree with your top. Yeah,
so we think Newcastle, Forest City,
yeah. Ooh. And I think City would be like, if you're lucky that we got that spot that you didn't do anything for.
Mm.
Like, was it the coefficient?
Yeah,
we got the coefficient, even though all they've done is fucking bring us down because they got knocked out. And yeah, it'll be interesting, Man City.
But it's tight. It could go either way. Let us know in the comments down below what your top five will be.
Like, two bad results in a row and you could fall well out of this.
We could just drop involved, yeah. I think we're only like 5 points ahead of those.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting one. Let us know who your Champions League spots are going to.
And if you do want to check out some more Champions League content, we've lined up a cheeky little Champions League prediction video for you. So make sure you stick around. And make sure you've got the notification bell too, so you're notified when that comes online. Anything you want to add?
We've got some special videos coming out. I'll give you a teaser for one. Gillette! The best a man can get.
Keep your eyes out for that.
Come on.
It's been Board Draw, episode 126. And it's live.